You know, some say that the fastest growing religion in the world today is not Islam, it's not Christianity. According to one source, the fastest growing religious trend might just be the belief in salvation through conspicuous consumption, the worship of things, the false promise of having enough, that that's more important than being enough. Now, radical consumerism is practiced in the developed world, dangles that implied promise, just like a religion of transcendence. We have the chance to be born again, we can rise above our current state of attractiveness and desirability and popularity to find more approval and love, and yes, with a wink and a nod to the rock and roll band, the Rolling Stones, we might get some satisfaction. If we only buy the right car, wear the right brand of clothes, drink the right beer, or own the latest big screen TV, smartphone, or other electronic gadget. Consumer spending, that pressure to spend money, has grown to become the single biggest driver that defines our economy. We are encouraged to buy and to buy and to buy yet again if we want to create more jobs and bring the economy back. Shopping has become our new patriotic calling. And how in the world did we get here at this point? You know, back in the earlier part of American history, most money was spent on consuming daily necessities. Being frugal and saving money were widely held cultural values, even among the most wealthy. But industrialization at the start of the 1900s changed everything, and for the first time in human history, we manufactured more than people needed. More than even the wealthy could buy. So we were in an economic crisis of oversupply, and American business and the government jumped at the opportunity to do something about that. And what they did is they responded by promoting a new set of cultural values. For the first time, personal pleasure and personal deserving were encouraged in the place of sacrifice and deferred gratification. And how our Puritan ancestors must have been spinning in their graves. Now, advertising helped to redefine luxuries as the new gotta-have-it necessities. Think about this. In 1880, $30 million a year was spent in the U.S. on advertising. By 1910, only 30 years later, the number of dollars jumped 20-fold to over $600 million a year, just in that time span. Now, today that figure is closer to $120 billion here in the U.S. and $250 million to advertise worldwide. Now, this cultural shift wasn't going to work unless the average American had more buying power. And so that led to the invention of consumer credit. The first credit was introduced in the U.S. in 1950, and it was marketed predominantly to women, granting them the increased power to shop whenever they wanted to, wherever they wanted to. And it's hard for us to imagine today what an incredible power shift that was culturally, away from men who had traditionally been as the head of the households. They were the ones who had been in charge of the flow of the money. So consumer credit completely reshaped shopping habits, and we began to buy what we wanted to, when we wanted to. And instant personal gratification became the new cultural norm. Now, some of you may be sitting here thinking, nah, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm a careful and responsible shopper, and I've never fallen victim to the manipulation of marketing and merchandising and advertising. Really? I gotta tell you, it's really hard to resist that seduction to buy more than we really need. How many of you have ever shopped at one of those big wholesale club stores like Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's? We never walk in fully intending to buy that 12-pack of paper towels or that 4-pack of tenderloins, but hey, it was on sale. It was a good price. Now, where are you going to store that 6-month supply of toilet paper and toothpaste? And today's technology seems to become obsolete about 10 minutes after we take that smartphone or that notepad or that computer or television right out of the box. No matter how many electronic gadgets we own, there will always be a smarter phone, a sharper TV image, or a faster computer available. And we're going to replace what we already have that seems to be working just fine. And for those of you who are around 20 years ago or more, if someone would have walked up to you and said, someday you're going to spend 250 to 10,000 times more than you need to because you're going to buy water in plastic bottles instead of drinking perfectly good, safe tap water that comes right out of your kitchen sink. Do you believe them? You probably told them they're nuts. You'd never do anything like that, right? Now, I'm not here to talk to you about the evils of consumerism and tell you something you don't already know. But I think it is important for us to revisit this issue from time to time and to take a look at the cultural pressures surrounding us and to recognize that consumerism is a spiritual dilemma. It's a spiritual dilemma for the disconnection it creates in our lives. Because consumerism disconnects us from what is most important. Study after study confirms that no one can buy happiness. We may feel a short-term sense of well-being and satisfaction when we buy something new, but that doesn't last very long. People report that the only things that really relate to true happiness in our lives are our relationships with other people and our life experiences, not our belongings. Consumerism also disconnects us from the human cost of the products we buy. Who truly pays for the lifestyle I live? Now, I wore this top this morning to make a point. It's not fancy, but I bought it several years ago at Sam's Club for $12.99. And for those of you who don't shop for women's clothing, I'm here to tell you that that's a bargain, almost what we call a steal. The label says that it was made in Vietnam. But I confess, before that factory collapsed 3 months ago in Bangladesh and killed 1,100 people, I didn't pay attention to where my clothes came from. I never thought about a young Vietnamese girl, and yes, in the garment industry, it is typically teenage girls and young women. I never thought about her bent over a machine 16 to 17 hours a day, 7 days a week with no safety gear to protect her. Maybe she earns about 17 cents an hour. In today's global economy, she is invisible to me. I have to really strain to see her in my mind's eye and to remember that she has no health benefits. She has no workers' rights. If she complains or she gets sick, she's fired. Now, maybe she might get one day off every other month or so, and she'll get to go back to her village and visit with her family. She lives the life she lives, so I can live the life I live. So I can buy this shirt for a steal. Now, perhaps this story has a flip side. Maybe this job is the best thing that ever happened to her. Maybe she makes more money than she ever dreamed she would. Maybe this job makes her one of the most wealthiest people in her village. And maybe, Maybe this job helps her to send younger brothers and sisters to the schooling she never got. Maybe. The truth is, I don't know, and I won't ever know. But as a person of faith, it is important to begin to see her, even if it's just in my mind's eye to start. Faith calls me to recognize if I wasn't willing to work under these conditions, if I wasn't willing to let my family and friends work under these conditions, how can I allow another member of my human family to work like that? My faith calls me to ask, how am I complicit in this scenario, and what can I do to help her? Awareness is the first step in helping to bring about change. I encourage you to start reading your labels. Become more aware of where your clothing, your tools, your appliances, your electronic toys are made, and to be mindful of the manufacturing conditions they're made under. And I ask you to be mindful, too, of the incredible waste we have here in this consumer culture. How often the dreams we bought yesterday end up going to the trash or go in the charitable donation bag and end up at the steps of Goodwill, and how much of it just fills landfill after landfill after landfill. So please understand, I am not advocating that we now are going to boycott goods that are manufactured overseas and buy only American products, because I'm not sure that's even possible anymore in this global economy. And I don't want to advocate taking away that young Vietnamese girl's right to make a living, to support a family, and to secure her own economic future. Instead, I believe we are called to hold these big brands accountable for improving the working conditions in factories they use overseas. We can speak out. We can tell them that we just might be willing to pay a little bit more so they will provide benefits and safe working conditions for international workers. And we can speak out to politicians in favor of trade agreements that help to shrink the huge gap between the haves and the have-nots in this world. We're also encouraged to buy fair trade goods. We sell them here at church, chocolate and coffee, and be watching. Our next sale is going to be in mid-August. When we buy these items, local growers in developing nations finally receive a higher market value for the coffee and the cocoa beans that they grow. And we help to support education programs that teach these international growers about how to participate more fully in the global economy. Now, the other sin of consumerism, if you will, is how it disconnects us from reality, from placing our lives in proper perspective. We often think the glass is half full, when in truth, most of us live lives of tremendous luxury and privilege. It becomes harder for me to complain about all the hassles I was having getting my big screen TV and entertainment set up when I am reminded by a recent United Nations report that 1.6 billion people, one quarter of all the people on Earth, don't have electricity. Or to be reminded that 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. 10 U.S. dollar equivalent or less a day. How many Americans think nothing of spending that much every day on the latest mocha latte, la-di-da-da coffee drink at the corner coffee shop? When we recognize our privilege, we recognize we have choice. We stop and we are reminded that wanting is different from needing. And while it is okay to treat ourselves to the things we want, we are called to do so being mindful of what we can truly afford, and being mindful of the human cost of the buying decisions we make. And finally, the thing that I hate the most about consumerism is that it disconnects us from the deepest truth about ourselves. We each have inherent worth and dignity. Each one of us is unique, precious, and valuable. We are not what advertising says we are. We are not less than. We are not incomplete. There is nothing wrong with who we are that we need to be healed by buying newer, better things. We have a choice. We can decide to turn the television off from time to time and stop this flow of toxic nonsense. Especially when you consider this, the American Medical Association estimates that our children spend 6,000 more hours a year in front of a TV than they do at a desk at school. That means they watch between 25,000 to 45,000 television commercials a year. That's 45,000 different assaults to a child's growing sense of well-being, to a child beginning to understand that they have worth and dignity. How difficult is it to reinforce that message when everything else they hear tells them they are not and they don't? So make no mistake about it, advertisers are training our children to believe that they are less than, so that they will become the nonstop shoppers of tomorrow. But here is the sacred truth about ourselves. We are beings of value and worth, and that worth does not depend on the color of our skin, on our gender, our sexual orientation, our country of national origin. It does not depend on how much money we have in the bank, and it certainly does not depend on the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the sodas we drink, or the neighborhoods we live in. When we feel that overwhelming urge to buy something we really don't need, we have the choice to stop and ask ourselves, do I really want this? Can I truly afford it? And why am I called to buy this right now? Is there an emotional reason? Am I bored? Am I just trying to lift myself up out of a funk? Am I subconsciously buying into the status of this brand? Am I trying to feel better about who I am through having instead of being? What do we really hunger for? Things? Or are we hungering for love, for acceptance, for a better sense of self? I encourage you to push back against consumerism's false promise of a better self and remember the real promise of your faith. You already are that imagined better self. You are a person of precious worth and dignity beyond all measure. And you are lovable and loved beyond all measure. So come, whoever you are, and take a break from the toxic influence of the consumer culture that surrounds us everywhere. Come here to be reminded that you are blessed. Come here to celebrate, to nurture, and to grow who you are at your deepest levels of being. Because it is there, in our deepest, most sacred sense of self, that we come to know that we are enough. It's there that we can finally get some satisfaction. A hey, hey, hey. Amen, and blessed be.